I'm at the Murray Street Mall. It's Saturday afternoon, and I'm here with Barry Cade, who's the organiser of the inaugural Scott Parkin Marbles Tournament. Can you tell me a bit more about this, Barry?
Scott Parkin was a Texan who was an anti-Halliburton activist, and he was in Australia on a visitor's visa. He'd attended the Forbes protests at the Sydney Opera House, and then he travelled to Melbourne, where he was engaged in conducting workshops on peace activism. ASIO turned up at his place and demanded that he turn up for an interview. He refused. They then grabbed him out of a cafe and put him in solitary confinement in Melbourne for 3 days until they could get him on a flight back to Los Angeles. They charged him $130 a night to be held in a police cell in solitary confinement. You can get a 3-star hotel room for that. I don't think it was a 3-star accommodation in whichever police station in Melbourne he was in. But yes, they then deported him back to the US. They sent 2 ASIO agents on the plane with him back to the US. They arrived in the US on a Thursday, and then he had to pay. He's been billed for them to stay in first-class accommodation in Los Angeles until the Monday, 4 nights. As he put it, he paid for them to go to Disneyland. So he's been billed $11,000 for being detained. And if he ever wants to come back to Australia, he can't come back to Australia for 3 years, but if he ever wants to come back to Australia, he has to pay the Australian government $11,000 for the pleasure of being detained.
He wasn't charged with anything. A threat to national security is about all he was deemed to have been, to have done.
Yeah, well, it's true. He wasn't charged under any Australian law. There were conflicting stories given about why he'd been deported. All Ruddock would say in the first instance was that he was a threat to national security, or had been deemed so by ASIO. Then rumours started surfacing that he'd been deported because of some of the tactics he'd been advocating at the non-violence training workshops he'd been conducting, including throwing marbles under the hooves of police horses to bring them down, and practising de-arrest tactics. That's where if police grab someone out of a crowd at a demonstration, you grab them back and get them away from the police lines. This was deemed to be a threat to national security, apparently. Now, it turns out that Scott Parkin actually not only didn't advocate those things at that workshop, he actually opposes both those actions. He opposes attempting to harm police horses on moral grounds, and he opposes de-arrest on tactical grounds because, as far as he's concerned, it provokes police violence.
Yes.
So it's clear that the grounds for him being deported are never actually going to be released. We're never going to know why. And this is quite significant because when various upgrades of terrorist laws have been proposed by Howard in the Parliament, people have said, well, is this going to be targeting political dissent? And Howard has insisted that it's not. Well, that's clearly not the case. It clearly is being targeted at political dissent in Australia. Various people have pointed out, oh, well, Scott Parkin was on a visitor's visa, and by engaging in political activity, he's not a visitor, and therefore... But it does leave a very nasty open question about who's next. And it seems clear that this is part of the sort of escalation of the criminalisation of political dissent within Australia. And it's scary that it's being done under the guise of the terrorism laws. So it seemed to me really important that we actually start doing something about this. And I think it really has to be confronted in a way that opens up what's really going on about the conflation of terrorism and dissent. We've already had ludicrous stuff coming from people who, either they ought to know better or they do know better, and they're saying for different reasons. Wilson Tuckey, after the bombings in London, said that the bombings could easily have been carried out by the sorts of people who were protesting at Glen Eagles against the globalisation forum that was happening there. Now, if Wilson Tuckey is prepared to say that people who put bombs on buses and trains are the same sorts of people who turn up to peaceful protests, then we've got a different game. They've upped the stakes. They've changed the game. Now, even some Conservatives are noticing this. Boris Johnson, who's a British Tory MP, who's an editor and commentator for The Spectator, which is a Tory magazine in London, he has pointed out the problem with this sort of thinking, even from a Tory point of view. When George Bush says, you're with the terrorists or you're with us, well, as Boris Johnson points out, well, that means that the young Muslim activists in Britain have been told, you're with the terrorists. So they've been painted into a corner. Now, I don't support putting bombs on buses and trains. Never have, never will.
No.
I also don't support the political objectives of the people who do this sort of thing. But, it's a big question. If they're going to start saying that ordinary political dissent, that is, engagement as citizens in what the polity is of the country, how the country works, if they're going to say that that is in the same basket as terrorism, well, they've created a problem for themselves, because I could actually just say, okay, bring it on. If you're going to call me a terrorist, why shouldn't I shoot you? Why shouldn't I blow you up?
It's a distinct blurring of the definition of terrorism, which I suppose is at the bottom of all this.
It is. So we decided to take this little action today. We started up outside the Curtin House Police Post in Bogart Street. We stayed there for an hour or so. We've come down into Murray Street Mall, where there are a few more people. The Scott Park in Marbles tournament. And I think the banner that we're standing next to says, what my opinion on this is, marbles are terrorism, get a grip. And this is really concerning me, that people are actually falling into this scare campaign about terrorism. Everyone's going along with it. Jeff Gallop and the other state premiers have agreed with John Howard to bring in more restrictive, more repressive laws for ASIO to use. ASIO, if these laws go through, under what we understand at this stage to be the way they're going to be drafted, are going to be given essentially indefinite powers of detention for 14 days. That 14 days can then be extended for another 14 days by the order of a judge. Now, the judge can only examine whether ASIO's detention order is valid, not whether it's based on fact, but whether it's actually signed by the right ASIO officer, which means that ASIO don't have to provide to the courts or any other publicly accountable institution the reasons why they're holding someone in detention forever. Now, if that's not a police state, what the hell is?
Indeed, and one of the signs you've got here today is no to a police state, peace activist deported, who's next? So how's the reaction been to the tournament today?
There hasn't been much. Most people don't care. This is the scary thing. Most people aren't even stopping to ask, what's this stuff about a police state? It brings into focus what we've got to do next with this campaign. I'm thinking that what we're actually going to have to do is what the IWW did in America in the 1930s.
What's that?
When IWW activists were targeted by big companies for organising amongst poor rural workers. If anyone got harassed, the IWW, large numbers of whom were unemployed, IWW, I should explain, Industrial Workers of the World,
yes,
which was an anarchist-leaning labour union, they would get all the unemployed wobblies in the area, and they'd go to the town and get arrested and fill the jail and bankrupt the town. And I think we have to do a similar sort of thing here. I think we have to bring it on, go to the government, say, bring it on, okay? Prove that these laws are not designed to suppress political dissent within Australia or mass arrests. Go on, take us all in. I mean, if they want to say that all political dissent is going to be covered by the terrorism laws, McGuinty, how many jails are you going to build? There's 5,000 of us in Perth. You know, we can fill Casuarina tomorrow. Come on, Jim, bring it on.
Thank you very much, Barry.
Thank you.
I'm here with one of the participants in the Marbles tournament. And so why are you here today?
I'm here to show the ridiculous nature of the Scott Park and deportation. It's alleged that he was deported because he was advocating the use of marbles against police horses. I just find it ridiculous. None of the activists that I know would ever use marbles against police horses. So therefore, Scott Parkin was apparently a threat to national security because he was advocating the use of marbles. Now, we're here to have a marble tournament to show how innocent marbles are. We've all played marbles when we were younger, and we don't take them to protest. We don't use them against horses, and we're just sitting down having a friendly marble tournament.
And what about you, young fellow? You're here for the marbles tournament. Having fun?
Yeah, kind of.
Do you think that marbles are violent?
No, unless they hit someone in the eye, that'd hurt.